Hello, this is Vanessa Farino, your host, and you are listening to the Creative Human Podcast. All right, so we are going to be speaking to someone very special today. Her name is Bonnie Lo Kramen, and she's an absolute wonderful person. She is my friend. She's my mentor. She's like family. I met Bonnie many years ago at a training for administrative professionals, and she has absolutely changed my whole trajectory in my career and also personally in my life. She is someone who is the bridge between executives and assistants to build the ultimate workplace. She's also the founder of Be the Ultimate Assistant, and she's also one of the board advisors for Creative Admin, the organization that I have founded for administrative professionals all over the world. Welcome, Bonnie Lo Kramen. Thank you so much for your time.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much. Vanessa, I couldn't be prouder of you. It's in just such a few short years, you have done so much for as individually and for the profession. So I'm bursting with pride over what you have done.
Bonnie, it is people like you who do inspire me as you're paving the way. I'm like, we got to go. We got to go right behind her. Where's she going? Whatever she's doing, we got to wallpaper the whole city, planet, community, everything. And as well with all of our speakers, it's so important because it's one of these things, it's community over competition. I see that sometimes assistants might feel that competition, whether they're working in different departments, right? Or they're working in different companies, without realizing that, right? And this is Monique's hashtag, together is better. I love it. And I get all these things that you all say, and I put it together because I want to make sure that people understand career development is important. It's important to advocate one another. It's important
Absolutely.
To have conversations. So Bonnie, please tell us, what did 2020 mean to you? What trends did you see? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, looking back, I have a really clear picture of what happened in 2020. I was in Toronto speaking at an ELS forum on March 11 and 12. And while we were up there, we were hearing what was about to happen. And then on March 13th, I'll bet that many of you, that was the day you got the word and you had to go home. You know, go home, that's it. So in a heartbeat, everything changed. And that caused such upheaval in the workplace. And I remember about a week later calling Vicky on the phone. Vic, you probably remember this. And I said, we have to do something. We had every in-person event was canceled. And what we decided to do was a series of webinars, free webinars that we opened up to the world. And it was unbelievable that we had like 1,500 people coming to these webinars. My strongest instinct at the time, which frankly turned out to be correct, is that this community, which is 95 to 98% female, needs community. We like coming together. That's the reason, you came tonight and you wanted to be in a room. We've seen that again and again and again in 2020, that there is such a need for sharing best practices with one another, because we're all on such a new landscape. There's so much new. I was very struck and during one of the webinars by a woman who started to cry, actually, because she told how she's been with her executive for 10 years. She was the assistant to the CEO, sat outside his office, and then on March 13th had to go home. What she shared was that there's so much that's new about the relationship, about the partnership now, that they might have been with each other for 10 years, but a lot is new. There are new rules. So on one hand, there's a lot of stress and anxiety that's still off the charts, frankly. And then on the other hand, there's freedom. There's freedom to ask new questions, to look at the situation with fresh eyes, because this is unprecedented. I wrote an article in March of 2020 called Now's the Time. Lucy talked about the financial meltdown in 2008. There was my strongest instinct was we cannot make the same mistakes of the past as a profession. This is what I mean. After 2008 and after 9/11, some of you are old enough to remember 9/11 in the World Trade Center coming down attack. What happened, as Lucy said, is that there was a big shuffle in a huge upheaval in the workplace where assistants now found themselves with a whole lot more responsibility, but rarely any new title or any new job description, and certainly not any more money. And all I could think about was, oh my God, we cannot do that again. We cannot. And you know what? You aren't. What's so cool is that what has happened in 2020, Lucy made reference to it. There's been a lot of conversation with HR. So salaries are changing. The executive assistants of the world are now questioning their leaders, questioning HR. And that, my friends, is a very good thing. This whole move towards career progression and an insistence that we fix what's broken, because pre-pandemic, I can tell you that the system was broken and it still is broken. But the good news is that our leaders globally are more inclined to listen to you than ever before, because there's so many more questions than answers right now. So I'm excited about what we've come through. And frankly, I think the executive assistants of the world were more prepared for what was going to happen than anything, because you all, your brains always go to a plan B or a plan C or a plan D. That's what we teach at Be the Ultimate Assistant. And as for me and Vicky, we quickly had to regroup and turned our class into a virtual class. And also we went into the studio and put it on demand. So Be the Ultimate Assistant is in 2021 being offered now virtually and on demand and live later in the year. So it's been a big pivot for us too.
Thank you for sharing that, Bonnie. I know it's been, right, it's been tough for everybody, but I also tell people as well, it's really, really important. This is the first time in a really long time that we have an opportunity to look at things with fresh eyes. Don't be afraid, suggest, because our executives, they're trusting us to be the eyes and ears, right? We're still the gatekeepers, but we're the gatekeepers in different ways now. We've evolved, and that's such a beautiful thing, because we now have the opportunity to talk about different things in the future and how our businesses are going to evolve as well as culturally, right? Talking about culture, I find it just so moving how you were able to talk to the CEO of, HR and Shrum, right? That huge organization for HR. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I think that's something that is so powerful. And if you guys haven't heard, Bonnie has recorded the session with them. It's available on her podcast.
I wrote an article last fall and I called it, "How is HR really deciding how much to pay you?" I used to think that workplace bullying was the number one problem in our workplace. And now I don't think that anymore. I think the number one problem in our workplace is money. It's economics. It's how much you're being paid. And I was determined to get to the bottom of that question. And I finally found the compensation expert who could answer that for me. Lucy put it on the front cover of Executive Secretary Magazine. You can find it on my blog. Essentially, what Lucy made reference to earlier was that the Department of Labor is dealing with obsolete job descriptions, that there isn't anyone really getting the most up-to-the-minute information about what's happening with you in the workplace. And therefore, there isn't up-to-the-minute and accurate salary data out there. Except in some of the most rich companies that can afford these very expensive surveys. So I went ahead and in October, after the article came out, honestly, on a whim, I said, you know, the person who needs to see this article, because the assistants of the world were sharing it with your leaders in HR, the CEO of SHRM. SHRM is the Society of Human Resource Managers. They're based in Washington, D.C., and they represent 300,000 HR professionals. What I know, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's no chance that we are going to solve the problems that exist in this workplace without talking to each other. We're hearing Monique talk about communication, where everybody's talking about communication. Well, oh my God, there's not enough talking going on between leaders, HR, assistants, and recruiters. And so I'm writing a new book, and I've been talking with all of these constituencies, that's what I'm calling them. And I, you know, I did what any one of you would have done. I said, I'm going to go find Johnny Taylor. He's the CEO of SHRM. And I get on my computer, and he, don't you know, he's got a personal website. And I, you know, those, the contact me button on the website, and I wrote him. And I told him about this article, and I attached it and said, this is meant to open up a conversation. Would you have a conversation with me about this? Because the assistants, there's a problem in our workplace, and I am looking to bridge this with you. And he wrote me back within hours. The next week, we had a first conversation. The week after that, a second conversation. And then he agreed to do the podcast with Vicky and me. It runs for an hour, and it's, and they agreed to do it live. We live streamed it, and they, I give them big credit for doing it live and not insisting that they record it or anything. It's a powerful conversation. And, you know, like, but we didn't agree on everything. You're not going to like everything you hear on here. I mean, it, what's clear is that HR, he even admitted it, that HR doesn't know most everything in a company because they're not being told everything. That, that one of the ways I can cut you to the chase is that you see and hear everything as executive assistants, and therefore you know things. Now's the time to say it, because big decisions are being made for this workplace. Johnny Taylor confirmed that HR doesn't have all the answers. And in fact, HR is in crisis right now. They've got their hands more than full. They need to know what you know, but they're, you're not going to be asked by HR. You are going to need to take initiative. We need to be assertive. We need to be overt with the information. The other thing, I'm talking to leaders too. They admit they don't have all the answers either, and they totally need you to help them be better at what they do. The biggest problem out there are assistants who are invisible, who are choosing, you know, you're working at home, but it's, there's still ways to stay visible even in this virtual environment. So I urge you to listen to this podcast. We just got the news today. I just shared it with Vicky earlier today that they want to do another podcast. And to take the conversation even further, they see the value of collaborating with executive assistants. And with any luck, it's going to happen live the week of APW. So you heard it here first. And that's what we're looking to do, is to bridge. We can't do it alone. Lucy made the comment, we can't go from bottom up. It's got to be, you know, I thought, I'm just going to go to the CEO. Like, what's the worst that would happen? And look what happened. So I hope you'll use that as inspiration when you're thinking, should I go to the top? And the answer is hell yes.
Thank you for sharing all of that insight and knowledge. Thank you, Bonnie. We did have a question from Denise that said, what do you think the changes, that came out of that conversation, and what were the lessons learned? And I think that that almost answered it, right? The conversation is opening. They want to learn more. Hence they want to have the conversation again.
Right. I mean, let me give you one example. We talked about training budgets, and first of all, we now have training budgets, and Johnny was saying how he thought $1,500 a year was, you know, a nice average amount. And that might be true for not-for-profits, but that's still really low. The number we're hearing at forums and at B2UA is more in the neighborhood of $5,000 a year. training cannot be an option anymore. I mean, that was one area where, you know, we opened their eyes. After the podcast was over, we had a very interesting conversation about bullying because we didn't really get a chance to talk in any great length about it. You'll listen for yourselves. And that was very interesting because I see it as a global epidemic. It's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. They did not see it as such, but I think there's a lot of more talking to do. We're not going to solve everything in one conversation.
Talking about bullying, what trends do you see in the profession of, in our profession with workplace bullying? Do you think that that's only between our teams, other teams in the workplace? Can we talk a little bit more about that? At least from my experience, I can share that I've shockingly have experienced, you know, administrative professional bullying in so many different levels, which is shocking because I would never think that my peer would do that to me.
Could I ask that you raise your hand, you know, with the reactions if you've either witnessed or experienced bullying in your careers, please? You can use a reaction. You can use your real hands. Like it's a thing. It's big. It's a global epidemic. It's huge. And I thought, well, with the virtual situation we're in with working from home, it's going to be less. And the truth is that it's more because stress and anxiety cause people to act out in very extreme ways. Pre-pandemic, we were talking a lot about Me Too and Time's Up. And of course, sexual harassment is a form of workplace bullying. I'm going to cut you to the chase. We need to have a zero tolerance policy for workplace bullying globally, that it is slowing far too many of us down, slowing you, stopping you dead in your tracks from doing productive work. It is a lose-lose-lose situation in the workplace, and it is more than time for, if we're speaking up about salaries and we're speaking up about career progression, we might as well throw workplace bullying into the mix and get that solved also. It is, it's a toxic problem that's costing companies a lot of money, and we must break the cycle because it's not only for us, it's for our daughters and our sons and our grandkids and the assistants coming up behind us. It's time. It really is an enormous issue. And you know, it's hard to advocate for more money if you're being bullied. So it's a domino, a poisonous domino effect that results from bullying.
Bonnie, we do have a question from Susan that says, from EA to EA, bullying around political affiliation is a huge problem. What do you say? Have you seen that?
Yeah, politics this year has just, the word for me for this year is courage, that there's so much anger and divisiveness going on in the world and in the workplace. We can't ignore it. You are the chaos tamers. We have a job to do in the workplace. I don't believe that political affiliation, here's what I truly believe, that your job description is your job description. You've been hired at a company to do a job. We're not at a company. If we have friends at work, that's a bonus. It is not part of our job descriptions to get political unless we're with a political organization. I think it is our job to be professional with each other and mutually respectful. Because when disrespect comes in, and that's when there's divisiveness in politics or racism and discrimination, it's, you know, starting to morph into, you know, they cross over, don't they? That negativity stops people from doing their work. And I honestly think that's where we need to draw lines, that your job description equals money. That is what you're there to do. And I don't mean to oversimplify, but I hope that we can bring the temperature down, to use a phrase that's being talked about recently. I don't profess to have all the answers. What I do know is that we've got some big issues and big problems to fix in our workplace. Let us focus on the things we can fix, really. Maybe that's the bottom line of this, is that let's focus on the things we really can address and fix and leave the other out in the parking lot or in another room.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Bonnie. Biju is asking, how can we lead other EAs into conversation around this topic of bullying? Should it be brought up?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. Because the data is clear. If a bully is bullying one person, chances are they're bullying more than one. And we need to break the silence. Just like Vanessa, you used the word taboo, the whole subject of money is taboo and forbidden and like, ooh, can't talk about that. Bullying is in the same genre. I am grateful for the Me Too and Time's Up movements because it caused accountability. It caused heads to roll for those people who were the perpetrators of these behaviors. The trauma is real, isn't it? So many of you raised your hand. The trauma lasts, not only just for the day it happens or the week it happens or the month it happens. It lasts, does it not, for years, right? Or forever? Is that right? Long time. That can't be okay with anybody in this room. It cannot. So if we decide that it's not okay with us, for us to be traumatizing people for years, then we must do something about it. I would argue we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to do it, to not only protect ourselves, but to protect others. The word for 2021 is courage. We have got to have some courage to stand up and finally say what is important to do. We have somebody in this room right now who has done that. Julie Kavanaugh she's one of our biggest success stories. Julie, I hope you don't mind me calling you out, but you know, you have had such a career of being a stellar executive assistant, and now you are a chief of staff, and you are practicing what you have learned over these years about what good leaders look like, and good leaders do not tolerate bullying.
Bonnie, can you share with us how we can approach our executives or HR teams for career development? At least for myself, the one thing that I learned from you is before ever accepting an offer, say, where's my career development funds annually? And I've been doing that, and I've had many times, you know, companies say, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm working for the CEO and I have to be the best of the best. Business evolves, people evolve. I have to be on top of my game. How are you going to make sure that I'm getting there?
Right. And Vic has a lot to say about this too. But the good news is that the way the competitive world that exists right now, and there's so much at stake, what HR is being charged to do is to protect the high producers, the high performers. You be that. You be the one running towards the problem, raising your hand, volunteering. They are, your leaders in HR are inclined to listen to you because you're proving your value every single day. And therefore, when you go to HR and you're asking about career progression, they are aware there's a problem. They are aware this needs to be fixed. And you could also raise your hand and say, I'd love to be involved in the creation of that at our company. Lucy's, the report she was talking about will be a great help to you, but there's acknowledge every company's gonna have to, you know, adjust around it and do a version of that. It really is good news that right this minute, it's about going to HR and saying, could we have a conversation about my career progression? Like the workplace is in turmoil right now, but that's not stopping you from having a conversation about what is your career path at this company? Because if you are that valuable person, which I pretty much know you are, they are going to want to keep you. Your ace in the hole is they don't want to lose you. That's your leverage, is if you have made yourself that invaluable person, you're the one on Zoom who saves the day and knows, you know, all the tricks. You know, you make it your business to fill those gaps, the places that need filling. You know, if you want to be involved in onboarding, if you want to be involved in succession planning, disaster planning, oh my God, there's so many places that need tweaking in this new environment we're in. So ask the big word, please, 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 please do not be invisible. And please use your mentors in groups like this to find the words to ask, because when assistants are asking, you're getting it. I give you my word. HR is telling me that. Leaders are telling me that. They need you to do it. I hope you believe me.
Thank you, Bonnie. I think we're all learning with time, right? As we speak up, there's change, whether the change starts today or the change starts tomorrow or next week. And I think the power of understanding our voices, sharing the information, going back to people, pushing back, but respectfully and professionally, is something that helps ourselves, the world evolve, business evolve, our careers. And there's just nothing that's there's no better feeling, at least for me personally, when you can go back and say, I have a question respectfully, may I please ask, or do you have a few minutes, or can I book something next week? Please tell me how we can continue our career development. Tell us about B2UA in 2021, please.
Right. In the comments, Emily said, it doesn't hurt to ask, you know, what's the worst that will happen? But we as women have not really been supported or taught how to negotiate or to ask, but that's what B2UA training is about. Monique is training that, Lucy's training that. So, you know, it's very, very exciting. Vicky's been, I'm sure she'll tell you about, you know, training all these assistants to get certified. It's very empowering. It's a very exciting time right now.
Thank you for all the work that you're doing. Please continue. There's so much work to be done, but we want to make sure that we can also spread your knowledge and make sure that people are also being educated as we are educating.
We have a lot of work to do, but we've got to work together to do it. Better together.
Right? Together is better, like Monique says.
Right.
And thank you for sharing your theme for this year, which is courage. I'm definitely going to reflect on that. I also have themes myself, so I think that's really important. No better time than now to have courage. Okay. Bonnie, is there anything else that you wanted to share with the community? Anybody have any additional questions for Bonnie?
You know what the last thing I want to say is, they're going to be haters out there. No matter what we do, right, they're going to be out there trying to say, don't do it, or to make you question yourself. And if there's anything to choose this year, is please turn towards each other for mentorship and resist the haters. That's it. Thank you, Bonnie.
All right, there you have it. That was our conversation with Bonnie Lowe-Kramen and talking about reflections of 2020 and some inspiration for 2021. Stay tuned for next week's episode, where we will be speaking to a global leader in technology and training. So excited to see you guys next week.